As most of you know by now, last weekend, 19 Episcopal churches joined together in the northeast region of Connecticut to envision a renewed church. A church faithful to God's mission to reconcile the people of the world to one another and to God, and to restore the world to its created intent. That process, as I said earlier, will continue this coming weekend as the churches of the South Central region of Connecticut gather in Hamden to envision missional possibilities for its future. And as the Episcopal churches in Connecticut look into the future, what is it that we see? Well, that brings me to our reading today from the Revelation of John. The book of Revelation has always been for me a call to imagination. It's a remarkable vision of the end times, a beacon of light showing us the way that where our journey leads us. Revelation is not so much a blueprint of what is already etched in stone, as some would claim, as it is a glorious vision of what will be if our Christian vision of faith comes to pass. It is a vision that builds in intensity, and finally it is revealed that at the end we meet not an event, but a being, shining through all that of the flashing images of what it will be like. Is a conviction that at the end of the historical road, we will meet God, who is all in all, who is the Alpha and the Omega. In the final chapters of Revelation, from which our second reading this morning comes, the climax and fulfillment of John's images of the end times is presented as the vision of the holy city. This new Jerusalem is the fulfillment of all human dreams for community and security. And it is there that humanity will meet and live forever in relationship with one another and with God. The city becomes the place where the divine human encounter lasts for an eternity. What began in the garden with Adam and Eve culminates in a city where God is in perfect relationship and harmony with humanity. In John's vision, God does not merely bring about the end. God is the end. So what will this end time look like? What will be the nature of the New Jerusalem in John's imagination? Well, I invite us to enter the realm of imagination this morning, that we might open our minds up and envision the New Jerusalem as John sees it. Imagine a world where all barriers will be abolished. In John's word, there will be no sea. Well, the sea has been a barrier for John, separating him from Christian communities that he has loved. The new world coming will mean the removal of all barriers that separate us from one another and lead us, draw us into communion with one another. But for John, the sea also represents the chaos that infects the world. And it is out of the seas that the beasts in his vision emerge. But it is in the holy city where the sea will be banished forever and be replaced by the living waters of salvation. Imagine a world where God will transform all things into what they were created to be. A place where there will be no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. Here lies the promise that at the end, all that now robs life from being fulfilled, joyful, and vibrant will be ended. All will be transformed into joy and peace, love and compassion, forgiveness and faithfulness that comes from being in true relationship with the Divine One. The New Jerusalem will be a city where righteousness and justice prevail. Rather than exclude those who have been guilty in the past, the city will be a place where all will be transformed. Forgiven and made whole, all people will be brought into the city as people living out the lives that they were intended to live. Imagine a place, a world where God's presence will be everywhere and in everything. There will be no temple, no need for a temple, for a place of worship. Because for John, there is no building where we worship and encounter God, because the city as a whole is the place where we encounter God. That God is present in every street or building. God is present in the midst of everyday encounters among people. That God exists where people exist, and there is no need for a building. There will be no sun, no moon, no night in this world. God is transcendent, glorious light. The light is unbearable in its brilliance, and God's presence in the city banishes all night, all anxieties, and make all other forms of life, of light, irrelevant. That is John's New Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? Is that your dream of what the end time might be like? Does that vision excite you? Want you to move and to be a part? The New Jerusalem is ultimately the city that fully realizes the depth and richness of human community. It is composed of individuals living interdependently with one another, each important, each valued, each contributing to the whole. As a community, the city is not essentially streets and buildings, it is people. People living in communion with one another. And thus John would have us believe that God's finally dwelling place is in community with God's people, all the people of the world. As such, this new Jerusalem for John is a renewed city. God will not make all new things and start over again, but rather will make all things new, bringing that which was into the way that it was created to be. It is a city built on transformation, resurrection, and completion. Nothing human is lost. For John writes, quoting the prophet Isaiah, "My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And that is how God views the end time. The holy city is not therefore populated just by God's chosen, but by all the peoples of the earth, every nation and their kings that have opposed God's rule or oppressed the church. In John's vision, all are redeemed citizens of the holy city. And symbolic of such radical inclusivity, the eternal gates of the city are forever open, and no one is turned away. All are welcome. John lets his picture speak for itself. This is how it will be, he says. This is God's gift to us. This is the future. But this future gift comes with an assignment. If this is where the world under the sovereign power of God is finally going, then every thought and move and deed that goes in some other direction is out of step with the mission of God, and therefore is utterly wasted. John's vision stands, therefore, as an inspiration and a corrective to how we live our lives as individuals and as communities. Do we move toward the vision, or do we live away from the vision? So what do you and I do with this vision of John? Well, it has been said that a vision is a picture of a preferred future, and that what church does is to have a vision of that perfected future so that we can move toward it. Martin Luther King comes to mind as he proclaimed, "I have a dream that someday for my world, someday," the challenge for us is the way you complete that sentence of Martin Luther King's is an indication of not only the world you hope to live in, but the world that you are busy living in now. The words from that old Christian hymn capture this sentiment. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be love on earth, and let it begin with me. If we dream of a world in peace, then we walk in peace. If we dream of a world in love, then we walk in love. So let there be, how would you fill that in? What is your dream? What is our dream? What is God's dream? Toward what are you and I walking? Our commitment is to let it begin with me and you and you and you. So beginning with us, you and me, the world begins to be transformed, restored, if you will, to its rightful image. And people everywhere become one, reconciled to one another as brothers and sisters. And for that to happen, it has to begin somewhere. Why not let it begin with you and me? And so as we look at John, there will be a day when God, Alpha and Omega, will close the gap between what is and what ought to be, when God will transform our efforts into the making of a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine what that must be like? And on that day, you will not need others to help you see, because the love, mercy, and justice of God will be so real, so visible, so tangible that everyone will see and beloved God. For they will see God's face, and God's name will be printed on their forehead, writes John. And there will be no more night, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever and ever. That is John's vision. Can we capture that vision of ours? And until that day when this vision is realized, all we've got are voices. Voices urging us to dream, to look into the future for a glimpse of God's promised city. But those voices inspire us to live into the future with new hope and renewed dreams. And that is in part what these regional convocations are all about. They urge us to look to the future with imagination and then have the courage to stand together to walk toward that future, to try something new instead of being stuck in the past, to take risks, to fail, but always to walk forward, trusting that God will ultimately show us the way. And when we do that, when we walk into the future with a vision of what might be, toward the future, toward the fulfillment of those dreams, we will realize God's mission for this world. All we need to do is to walk into that future one step at a time. Can we join together and walk into the future? Can we trust God's Spirit to lead us? Can we embrace John's vision for what might be? Amen.